with a pretty awesome man all the way from Kazakhstan. This man has come and preached at a few churches this weekend, and I'm excited to hear what he has on his heart tonight. So without any further ado, how about we get to stand to our feet and welcome Pastor Doug Boyle. Here he is. Cheers, Doug.
Okay, well, you may be seated, and I had a great time with you last week, and you're all saying he's still got the same clothes on. Yeah, well, because, you know, I like to travel light. I realised I should have changed my shirt, but is that okay? Yeah, thanks. There we go. Okay, can you hear me now? I'll put that here. Praise the Lord. So I want to ask someone, anyone or everybody, hang on, too much hair here. Where's the ears? They used to be there, they are. Can someone put that on or is it on? Okay. Who knows where Kazakhstan is? Because I have a CD, but I want a really good explanation, not, you know, just up there somewhere. And I want to tell you about this singer. This girl was a heroin addict for about 10 years. She saw her mother shot through the chest by a gangster, so she had a lot of childhood trauma. And when she came to us, she was injecting into the jugular vein. Because, you know, drug addiction, you know, life-controlling problems create a lot of self-hatred. And so, you know, there's a kind of a suicidal thing there. But, you know, praise the Lord. Somebody prayed for her and she came to us and she came into the Teen Challenge program. It took her 3 years to graduate. She was a real nutcase. I mean, I'm talking a psycho, absolutely. But she opened up her heart to God and she just decided, you know, my plan for my life didn't work, but God has a good plan for my life and I'm going to surrender to God's plan. And she began to seek God and to know Him and to find out His plan. And she graduated from the program about 13 years ago. She went to Bible school. She started working in our Women's Rehabilitation Center. And today she pastors a church. She's an ordained Assemblies of God pastor. And she's the director of our Women's Drug Rehab. But the incredible thing about this girl is her music gift. I mean, she should be singing for Black Sabbath. Have you ever heard Jeff Fenholt sing? He sang for Black Sabbath, and he was the lead singer on Broadway in Jesus Christ Superstar. He's a great, great Christian guy, young guy about my age. And when he traveled Australia, he blew up every sound system in every church he went to. He was never invited back to Australia, but for those of us who got to hear him, it was just so good. And she has got a voice like that and incredibly anointed. She just wrote to me last week. She sang in a big conference with a pastor from India who's got, he's the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, 40,000 in his church. And people were just weeping and falling down on their knees and coming to the Lord when she was sharing her testimony. So this is a gift for someone who can tell me, where is Kazakhstan? Okay, it better be right, good. Stand up, what's your name?
Megan.
Huh? Megan.
Megan.
Megan. Okay, where is it, Megan?
It's kind of above the Caspian Sea, it's above Iraq, but a little bit to the left. And it's underneath.
Okay, sit down. That's Georgia. That's Georgia. Yeah. But that's not where Kazakhstan is. Come on, somebody must know. I mean, I've lived there nearly 20 years.
Got Afghanistan, Uzbekistan,
And what's the country to the south of it? China. Yeah. As, you know, I'm going to have to give it to this guy. Because to... Do you? Okay, let's have a vote. Okay, what about with the four hearts? Who goes, oh, look, what can I do? I have to give it to them. Thank you. But Kazakhstan is not to the left, it's to the right.
To the right, to the right.
It's east. It's east. Praise God. Now, for those who missed out, I have 10 left and they're for sale. They're $10 each, which is there in it. That's in English and in Russian. She sings the songs in English and in Russian. And, you know, they're just, it's just, you know, you've never heard anything like it. What can I say? Also, I've got some little advertisements here. We have 160 of our own converts in full-time ministry. But you can come and serve for 1 year with us teaching English. Can I give those to you, David, Pastor David? And this is just in a school, but yep. You would also be teaching in the 10 challenge centers. So what we're going to do now is going to show you a DVD.
Without teen challenge, I would be in hell, no doubt, because all of my relatives once come together on one meeting and brought me on that meeting and said, please, can you die quickly? We're fed up with waiting when you'll be dead.
I was using heroin for since age of 13 years old. I didn't have any hope. I just didn't know what I live for, where I'm going to.
My life was all broken. My family was broken. And when I lose my both parents, I were stealing.
This country, it was so broken, it's urbanized. There are six or seven cities that are developing. It's the eighth largest nation in the world, and all the towns and villages are stricken and poor. So we can pull all these addicts out of all these small churches pastored by Muslims all over the country and bring them here. Let's go and have a look at it.
Now, witness the largest teen challenge center with more than 600 students in the program. And the center is growing so fast that it's almost impossible to find a building or build new buildings for the people coming into the program.
My name is Tamara. I'm director of Refuge. This program was made especially for women with children who are homeless, abused, and who are suffer from drug addiction. Husbands, fathers, and family, drug addiction and family.
Children of drug addict parents or children who themselves are addicts learn to play and laugh again here. But great importance is also attached to schooling here in the center. The aim is for the children later to be able to lead not only a drug-free life, but a successful life as well.
My name is Sergey, I'm 17 years old. I born in Almaty, and when I was 5 years old, I started to smoke and drink alcohol. And since 11 years old, I was living in the streets. When I heard about Teen Challenge, I came to here, and guys, they told me about Jesus, and I asked him to come to my life. He just changed my life. Now I live 6 years in a Teen Challenge. Now my life has changed.
Often the decision to get free of drugs is not easy, but it leads to freedom. Valentin too can relate how happy he is that he came here.
All my life I live like a normal people. I started using drugs. All my attitude, all my relationship with my friends, with my family is destroyed absolutely. And I didn't know that all problem is drugs, but then I knew about this program, Teen Challenge Kazakhstan, and then Jesus touched my heart, God lived in my heart.
I came into the program in 1995 as a student, and in 1996 I finished the program, and then I knew that it's from God that I need to serve and I need to give my life to God.
Where would you be without Teen Challenge?
I think I would be dead, or I would be in prison for sure, and my life would be wrecked.
Despite the devoted help of everyone living in the center, the shortages and poverty are obvious. Financial support is urgently needed here in order to give enough people seeking help a decent home.
So at the moment in this rehab center lives more than 40 people, and this center is not enough place for people. Through all these years I can see how many people find Jesus and find freedom. Families restore, mother find their sons, sons find their relatives, husband find their wives and wives their husbands. So, in other words, we can see how God rebuilt these families.
You know what's incredible about the ministry of TC in Kazakhstan? These guys are Muslims. Do you know how hard it is to win a Muslim for the Lord? It's so hard, but there's so much drug addiction here. These people would rather have their kids as living Christians and dead Muslims from addiction. This is just an incredible opportunity, but we need resources here.
I started using drugs. All my attitude, all my relationship with my friends, with my family is destroyed absolutely.
Teen Challenge means restoring broken lives by the power of God.
I knew that it's from God that I need to serve and I need to give my life.
From when I was 14 to 24, I didn't have one day when I was normal. It was marijuana,
to people that the world had no use for, to the lonely, broken hearted, we are opening the doors, and we feed the hungry people with God's message from above, as we sing of Jesus' mercy and his love. Challenge, hands that lift, and people.
My life was broken, always. The best thing, Jesus saved me and gave me eternal life. Secondly, he gave me a wonderful wife and two sons.
Jesus!
She found this place and she came here. And since she gave her life to Jesus Lord, she changed so much. She's my best helper, and we are doing this work together for God.
Where would you be without Teen Challenge?
Where would I be without God, maybe?
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe I was dead.
Yeah.
Not living.
Challenge, hands that lift, and people
Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge game.
And the life. To the people bound in sin, we are going with God's message to compel them to come in to a banquet set before them, filled with light and liberty. Won't you help us tell them Christ can set them free? Teen Challenge. Hands that lift and people who care.
I'm a general director of Almaty region.
How many centers under you?
I have 5 centers.
He said to me that, what are you going to do? To waste your life building your own life, or you're going to give your life for others? Because there are many girls on the streets who need help, and I want to use you.
I am enjoying like never before. I am laughing without any drugs. I have a good rest with my parents, with my friends.
A life of joy without drugs? Unimaginable for many. But with God, it is possible.
God gives new life!
What are you doing, Jesus?
That Jesus Christ is the righteous one,
что Иисус есть праведный,
is what he has produced in your life and my life. Amen.
So I thought that, give the Lord a clap. That's 5 years old, that DVD. But I thought, you know, I would save this meeting for when your pastors came back, because tonight I want to talk about God's good plan for your life and what God's good plan has been for my life. I'm 57 years of age now. I've got 8 grandchildren. And, but you know, I can still remember when I was just a small child growing up in a home that had no water, no electricity, no telephone, no toilet. You know, I was always hungry. We had 5 kids and we didn't say grace. Mum just said go. And nobody talked. Because if you talked, that took up time. It meant you'd miss out on a lot of food. You know, but there was one thing we always had in the house, and that was beer. There was always beer in the house. And I couldn't understand it. But this was my life in the 1950s. I was born in 1953. My father went to prison when he was 18 for driving a tank through a brick wall. Now, I bet you don't know many people who've gone to prison for driving a tank through a brick wall. That's interesting, isn't it? My father was a biker. The biggest dream I had as a kid was that one day I would escape from home and I'd get a job and I'd get some money and I'd go to the shop and I'd to the cafe and I'd buy a hamburger and a milkshake. That was the biggest dream that I had for my life. I guess for most of you, that just sounds ridiculous. And you know, when I finally got that job and I got my first pay, you know, I couldn't bear myself to waste it on a hamburger and a milkshake, because by then I'd matured a bit and I had my priorities organized, so I bought a motorcycle instead. Praise God. I want to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 29. And it's verse 11, and it goes like this. And this is God speaking to me, and it's God speaking to you tonight. It's God speaking to all of the people that he created, because God created us. We are the work of his hands. And this is what he said. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And God has a plan for you. In life is to find God's plan. God's plan is hidden from the world, but it's hidden somewhere. It's a treasure hidden in a field. When you find the treasure, you find God's plan. God's plan is Jesus Christ. The treasure is Jesus Christ. When you find Jesus Christ, you begin to experience God's plan for your life. But you know, God's plan is not like anything in this world. It's not like any relationship you'll have, even with the person you love the most. And for me, that's Anna. It's not even like the relationships you have with your best friends, your families, your parents. It's not like anything you experience at work. It's not like anything in this world. It is so much better. But you need faith to enter into God's plan. You need faith to trust God, to have God's plan for your life. There's four things here that God has planned for all of us. He's planned to prosper us. I didn't grow up very prosperous. But in a night just like this, 37 years ago, I was 20 years of age. I was using heroin. I was in all kinds of bad situations, separated from my family. I was suicidal. And someone came and told me that God had a good plan for my life. And that I could find that plan in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And on a night just like this, in a meeting much smaller than this, I walked forward and I knelt down and I wept and I asked God to take away my sins. And I said, I don't know really what's going on, but I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me. I believe there is one God in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm going to leave everything right now. And I want to give my life to you because I need a good plan for my life. And my whole life changed. I'm going to share, you've seen a DVD, a little bit about my life. But there's four things here. God's plan is to prosper you. Remember Star Trek? Prosper. Or how did it go? What was the signal? Prosper. There it is. Prosper. God wants to prosper you. If you will follow God's plan, you will prosper. You will prosper. You can't prosper unless you follow God's plan. When we went to Kazakhstan, our mission decided it was too far, too dangerous, and we had too many kids. We sold everything we had and we bought one-way tickets 20 years ago. And God has prospered us. We have bought more than 20 very large buildings. We don't have any debts. $500 million worth of real estate. Planted 23 churches, a school, a kindergarten, 15 drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. We still don't have a dollar. But we have the plan of God. God's plan is to prosper you. God has prospered me. I've got 8 grandchildren. I didn't have any 20 years ago. My wife gets more beautiful every day. It's real. Sometimes I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'll think, I cannot believe the love that I feel for her and the love that she feels for me. It's almost not worldly. It's almost supernatural. When you are committed to God's plan, you prosper. Do you know that everything I do succeeds? I know that everything I do will prosper. I won't start any ministry I can't continue until Jesus comes back. Just 8 weeks ago, I sent 6 of our converts to Georgia. Georgia is west of Kazakhstan, it's below Chechnya, and it's above Iran. And to the left of Georgia is the Black Sea and Turkey. To the right of Georgia is the Caspian Sea, and then is Kazakhstan. It's not so far. Georgia was the seat of the last Islamic world empire called the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire collapsed after 700 years of rule, when the Australian Light Horse attacked Israel in 1917 and took Beersheba from the Ottoman machine guns. That was the Ottoman Empire. We were instrumental in the collapse of the last world Islamic empire. And Kazakhs are that empire. They're the children of Genghis Khan, who conquered the whole Muslim world all the way to Vienna. Are we looking for something? Yeah. And they took over Turkey, which was a Roman Greek society. They killed the men and married the women. So the Turks of today speak our language and have our religion. So this is a great and a mighty people. They are historically very powerful, the Central Asian people. Then came communism. And 20 years ago, the door opened. And it was part of God's good plan for our life, for us to go there. And we had the privilege to send 6 of our converts, Muslims, who now have found God's good plan the same way we do. It's in Jesus Christ. He's the treasure hidden in the field. And they've gone to Georgia now. Georgia has 300,000 drug addicts and not one rehabilitation center. And they're there right now, living in a 120 square meter garage with no windows, no electricity, no water, and starting a Teen Challenge program. Why? Because, see, God has a good plan to prosper. We mightn't have anything now, but we know one day we'll have everything that we need. And we're not going to wait until we have what we need to follow Jesus Christ. We're not going to say to Jesus, if you do this, Lord, I will do that. Because we know God's plan is a good plan for us, to prosper us. So we're going to do what the Lord wants, and we know our life is going to be blessed. So therefore, we know whatever we do will prosper. Amen? You know, before I knew the Lord, nothing worked out in my life. I couldn't get on the cricket team. I couldn't get on the football team. I failed school. I failed high school. I mean, I was a total loser in every sense of the word. But you know, that's because I wasn't living God's plan. But when I found that God had a plan for me, everything changed. And you know what I'm talking about. But some of you haven't experienced that change. Some of you haven't found Jesus Christ. Some of you haven't begun to experience God's plan. But tonight, you will. I am confident that tonight, some of you here are going to find God's good plan for your life. Plan to prosper you. As I said, I didn't grow up prospering. And you know, God's plan is not to harm you. The world is out to harm you. Do you know that? 30,000 babies died today in this good world. There's enough money to care for them. What is it about? The world is full of harm. Every girl in our women's program has been abused sexually, emotionally, physically, financially. For that girl whose DVD you have, I was the first man in her life who didn't abuse her. She's my daughter, my spiritual daughter. She's married to another man who went through our program. I'll show you a picture of them in a minute. She got 2 beautiful girls. They go to Anna's school. When we are not in Jesus Christ, we are being harmed all the time. We are being abused and hurt. But I tell you, God's plan is not to harm you. God will protect you. Sometimes we are afraid to go God's way because we can't trust Him, because we think we're going to be hurt. Because we think God is like the world we live in, Or God is like the people we live with. Or we think God is like we are, but God is not. God is not like any of these things. God is completely different. God's plan will never bring you harm. Step out in faith into God's plan. It looks like there'll be trouble, but there won't be. There will be victory, prosperity, blessing. God's plan won't harm you. You know, I've been beaten. I've been stabbed twice. I've had my nose smashed up by a policeman. All my children have been beaten. I've been robbed at least 20 times. The night we arrived in Kazakhstan, we were robbed of everything we had. And after 3 years and selling everything you had, you think the Lord would protect you, wouldn't you? You think the Lord would prosper you, wouldn't you? But see, those things didn't come from the Lord. They come from the devil. There is a devil. Or they come from this world system which wants to harm us. Or they come from our flesh, our own selfish nature. Nothing bad ever came from God. Nothing. No temptation, no trial, no suffering, no tragedy that you will ever go through came from God. And God did not allow it to come. He couldn't stop it. Because God is limited by his righteousness. There are many things God cannot do. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. And he cannot go against the free will of man. Don't blame God for the bad that happens in your life. God has done everything. We have to walk through this life by faith. And that night that I arrived in Almaty and everything was gone, it seemed hopeless, and we'd gone through all those traumas, and in the midst of that, I didn't tell you, my youngest son was kidnapped for his organs. And supernaturally, he could tell you himself, an angel came and broke that man's hands apart and released him. And through all those trials, we arrived in the place of God's plan for our life in Kazakhstan, and it seemed hopeless. And we could have said, why, God? Why did you allow this? Why did you do this? Why are we here in this dangerous place? But you know what? We didn't. You know what we said? We said, God, we know the plans that you have for us. Plans for good. Plans to prosper us. Not to harm us. Plans to fulfill all our hopes and dreams. And plans to give us a great future. Because our faith cannot be in what we see or watch around us. It can only be in Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. And so we said to the Lord, people were trying to fly us out because policemen, soldiers were shooting people in the streets. People were jumping off balconies and committing suicide. You can't imagine what was going on at the end of the Soviet Union, the anarchy. What would you do? With little boys, what would you do? Be responsible. Someone wanted to lend me the money and come back to Australia. The pastor in our church had fallen down, and our church had even cut us off. We were alone. We didn't have anything. But hang on. God has a good plan for us, doesn't he? And when you say yes to God and you do his plan, what's going to happen? You're going to prosper, right? God's going to keep you safe, right? God's going to make all your dreams come true, right? And God's going to give you a great future. But what about all the bad stuff? Hey, it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. This is not heaven. But Jesus is the Savior. And when you are on Jesus, you're safe. And you can have a wonderful life. And we prayed that night. And one of the boys, Joseph, he's a dreamer. He said, I had a dream. I think it's going to be okay, Dad. Well, it's easy when you're sort of 9 years old And you're in the middle of nowhere. It's easy for a little boy to say that. He's got no idea of the gravity of the situation. But then the older boy, he's about 10, he said, Dad, you know, there's a scripture says, my God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. And if this is God's plan, Dad, God's going to provide. Now my son's preaching to me, you know. This is a boy who's been expelled from two Christian schools. And he was expelled from kindergarten when he was 4 years old. Yeah, you'll meet this guy one day. He's just incredible. Some people say he's just like his father. I'm proud of him. And you know, we just prayed and we said, Lord, okay. People want us to go. Someone's offered to lend us some money. It's so dangerous. But you know, Lord, your plan was for us to be here. We're going to stay. Now, we had been self-supporting for over 2 years and we had been living on $200 a month, our whole family. So life was fairly frugal. That afternoon, the situation was that Kazakhstan had now become an independent nation and it was assuming sovereignty for its borders. So that meant they had to have foreign embassies there and they were all coming to the city and they needed a school for their kids. And someone heard that Anna was a teacher and they rang up and they offered Anna a job in the first international school in Kazakhstan. And the salary was, remember we were living on $200 a month? Now we've already made a decision we're going to stay. The salary was tax-free, $2,000 a month. Hallelujah! Now listen, if we had decided that morning when we prayed that we were going to go back to Australia, would that have ever happened? Would it? No, it would have never happened. It would have never happened. It's not until you commit yourself to God's plan that you can receive prosperity, safety, the fulfillment of your dreams, and the wonderful, abundant life that God promised us in Jesus Christ. I can tell you 50 stories like that, but I won't. I want to show you some people whose lives have been changed because we stayed there that day. And I'm going to ask the guys to put the PowerPoint up now. You know, as I said, we have 160 people in full-time ministry. But we at our graduation, we graduate between 75 and 90 people. So here's Kazakhstan. You see, I was right where it is. Next one. Keep going. A little bit of info. That's great. One next one. That's our sort of motto. Keep going. Here we are again. Let's keep rolling. Okay, stop there. These people are Muslim. That man was a heroin addict for about 13 years. He was a major in the police force. His sister is the number one rock star in Kazakhstan. Now she's getting old. She's my age now. So she's kind of like the Shirley Bassey. But she still makes really cool rock videos. So very famous person. The mayor brought him to me. And the mayor said to the rock star, Doug has the power to heal drug addicts. And she said to me, being a very important person, as rock stars are, she said, do you have the power to heal drug addicts? I said, absolutely. Will you hear my son? I said, my brother? I said, if he wants. What's the chances of success? I said, if he wants, it's 100%. It completely depends on him. He came into our program. And it's difficult for a Muslim. In our program, we have preaching six times a day in our Teen Challenge centers. We have English, we have work, we have all the curriculum, we have preaching six times a day. So you can imagine Muslims suddenly having some lunatic Australian, you know, preaching to them from a Bible. This is a bit of a shock, isn't it? But as time went on, Maxud opened his heart to God's plan and he surrendered to God's wonderful plan for his life. His whole life has changed. He's a pastor today. He's the director of our men's rehabilitation center. His son has grown up instead of his father being a drug addict. He doesn't even know that because it was so long ago. His son now did a law degree and now he's a prosecutor in the national capital. And his son was a Kazakhstan junior national wrestling champion. All his relatives have been saved, and praise the Lord. He calls me dad. See the plan that God had for my life? If God can do something like this through Anna and I, imagine what kind of good plan he's got for your life. But don't be afraid to say yes to Jesus. It takes faith to take hold of God's plan. But remember, God's plan is full of good things, and nothing bad comes from God. Nothing. Next one. This man here, you saw him on the DVD, he was a gangster. Street gangster, standover guy, real criminal, very clever. He had gone through the program and failed miserably. Fell down and, you know, seemed hopeless. And he came to me. And I spent 6 hours with him, talking with him about God's plan. I said, look, do you want to know God's plan? Do you want to follow it? I'm willing to help you. And he prayed and he fell down and he wept. And he committed himself to God's plan. We went out. I started a new program with him in another part of the country. And he built 4 more rehabilitation centers by himself. He met this lady. She was a doctor. Isn't she beautiful? Now he has 2 sons. He pastors a church of 350 people. He's an ordained Assemblies of God pastor on the national executive. He's a Muslim. Isn't that incredible? But he found the treasure. He found Jesus Christ and he found God's plan, and he's living God's plan. But it's a life of faith. You have to trust God, because the whole world's here to rip us off, isn't it? But see, God is not like that. He's not going to harm you. He's not going to rip you off. He's going to make all your dreams come true. He's going to give you a great future. Next one. This is the girl on the DVD. Here she is. Her name is Magdalena, you know, Mary Magdalene. And I guess that was her. And I've told you her testimony. The man next to her, his name is Yakin. His grandmother was a minister in the Minister for Social Services in the communist times. We've got a book with photos of her on the platform in Moscow with Khrushchev and photos with Margaret Thatcher. So ruling class, the ruling elite. He was a young heroin addict. When we started our first church, we called it Yekin, which means freedom or liberty. And Anna and I still pastor that church today, and that's the mother church. We planted all the churches out of that church. And at the end of the first meeting, his family came to me, very well educated, very sophisticated. By the way, Kazakhstan is not third world. 75% of Kazakhs in the Soviet times had tertiary education. Educationally and culturally, they were ahead of the West. And they said, you know, our son has a drug problem, but we've heard that you can heal drug addicts. Is it true? I said, absolutely. I could have said, well, glory to Jesus. Jesus heals them. But you know what? That is such a cop-out. Because Jesus said, you go. God's plan is that he said, I am the light of the world, but later he says, you are the light of the world. We are as he was. And he puts the Holy Spirit in us so that we can live out God's plan for our life. And God's plan for me was that I should heal drug addicts. So I said, what's his name? And they said, it's Yakin. I said, Yakin. I said, that's the name of our church. Did you know that? They said, no. I said, bring him here to me. And they brought him in. And I said, Yakin, God's going to use you. God's going to change your life. You're going to be a mighty man of God, because you're going to surrender to God's plan for your life. He said, But he did. It wasn't instantaneous, but he did. And one day, he found the treasure, Jesus Christ, and he submitted to God's plan. And now his life is so blessed. He's the superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Kazakhstan. He has two beautiful girls, but he was a heroin addict, living in the street, hopeless life. See, what is God going to do for you? There's some young guys over here, and maybe what I'm saying to you doesn't sound like it sounds crazy, but I can tell you that God has such a wonderful plan for you. And I'm really interested in talking to young people, because I was so young and my life was so broken and I had been harmed and I'd lived in such a terrible situation. And yet when Jesus came in, everything changed for me. And I just feel, I don't know who, but some of these young people here, that God is going to change the world through you. He's going to change the world in you, and then he's going to change the world through you. And there's some more young people over here. They're everywhere. Praise the Lord. There's still young people left. Next one. This girl was a top fashion model. She became a heroin addict. Her husband was a street thug. They went through our program. They graduated. They have one son and one daughter. They are Muslims. They are Uyghurs. Has anyone heard of the Uyghurs? They're not Kazakhs. They are Uyghurs. The Uyghur people were Christian until the 6th century. They had planted churches in Beijing in the 4th century. Next one. This man just went to be with Jesus 5 days ago. He was a heroin addict for 32 years. Can you believe a heroin addict for 32 years could be changed? Could you imagine that? Well, he was. Because he found Jesus Christ. And he was a Muslim heroin addict. And he began to live God's plan. He was still working in the Teen Challenge Center. He was down to 45 kilos, dying of liver cancer. And he went to work every day. And sometimes the men would hold him when he preached and he prayed for the other men. He found God's plan. You know, God's plan is that we should live forever in heaven. But God's plan is that we should live here on the earth and serve Jesus Christ. That our life should prosper. That we should be safe. That all our dreams should come true. And that we could experience a great future. And he's experienced that. And now he's in heaven with Jesus. His name is Nariman. He's also a Uyghur. He was the senior pastor of a church. Preached the Sunday before he died. Next one. This man is Victor. This man was a mafia leader, a multiple murderer, convicted and imprisoned, never to be released. He was so powerful and dangerous, he took control of the prison. The government lost control of the highest maximum security prison in Kazakhstan. He had total control. They couldn't get out, but he controlled the prison. So they negotiated with him and ran the prison through him. Can you imagine this guy? He was a heroin addict more than 20 years. His mother was a little tiny lady, got saved in our church. She started to pray for him. He got out of prison, which was impossible. He got out because of the corrupt system. And she brought him to me. And some of the guys in our program had actually worked for him in his criminal. And they said, he's very dangerous. Don't let him come here. But I said, I have to let him come. Because Jesus said, whoever wants to come can. And he came into the program, and after 8 days withdrawing from heroin, he got a knife and he was going to kill somebody. And they called me. And I said, Victor, you said that you're going to stay for 1 month. He said, I've changed my mind. I said, Victor, where are you going to go? Look at us. All these men, you know some of these men. They found God's plan for them. Look at them. They're happy. They've got family. Victor, Jesus is here. He's here right now. You don't need to be like this. Fall down on your knees before Jesus Christ and invite him into your life. And he fell down, that hardened man, and you could hear him sobbing. deep sobbing as he wept and wept. And we ran in and we laid hands on him and prayed in tongues over him. And after 15 minutes, a deep peace fell on us and we all stood up, or stood back, and Victor stood up and his face was glowing like an angel. That was 13 years ago. He's a pastor. This girl graduated from the program. She was a heroin addict. She's a doctor. He's 53 years of age and he has a son now. His son's name is George. Just go through five slides now. I'm going to finish. Could the musicians come? You guys know that song you're going to play? It's a great rock and roll song. You know, I only have one opinion on worship. It has to be loud. That little baby's name is George. And here's Georgia now. We have, God's done so much for us in his plan for our life. There's a war, been a war.